Truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. How the grass can be nourishing in the mouth of the lambs, how rivers and stones are forever in allegiance with gravity, while we ourselves dream of rising. How two hands touch and the bonds will never be broken. How people come from delight or the scars of damage to the comfort of a poem. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have the answers. Let me keep company always with those who say, laugh and look in astonishment and bow their heads. Mary Oliver. Let me keep my distance from those who think they have the answers. Mystery is the atmosphere. It's the way we live, and yet we increasingly solve things and get answers and think that everything can be answered. You just have to have the right questions. What Ignatius did first was, after in faith, accepting the reality of God, he asked, what does this God do? Which is our question. And many, many cultures and tribes and systems have dealt with, what does God do as God? And for Ignatius, and it's how then we pray, God labors. Does God have to be initiated? That is, do we have to put a spiritual key into the ignition, the spiritual ignition, and then we turn God on? No. Not if the essence of God is love, which that's our theology, and we have to stay faithful. As I said, spirituality is living with the tensions or the ways of forming us according to our theology. Our theology is that God loves. Therefore, for instance, does God approve or disapprove? What's the essence of God? Got nothing to do with approval or disapproval. God labors considering that while God labors with us, God reverences our resistance and God has to respect our freedom. That's the problem that God has. So God labors to attract us, but not force us. It's the difference between being, responding or reacting. We respond because it's personal. This God is very personal. That's our theology. But we have tendencies in the spiritual life and in praying and being people of faith that we have to do something. We have to, create an atmosphere, or we have to do something really good, and then God will really be good. No, God is more gooder than we can imagine. We don't have to do anything. We are the receivers. But that's not like us. We are initiators ourselves. We go to the mountain, we go to the holy place, and we burn something or offer something, and then God is benevolent toward us because we have done something. We have done 100 spiritual push-ups, and then God says, "Wow, that now I'm listening to you. Now I'm benevolent towards you." So we're dealing with various images of God that have come to us from our culture and from just our human psychology. We are very near the St. Croix River, the boundary between Wisconsin and Minnesota, and I was fishing there last fall, and I was imagining all the water that flows in a minute past where we were fishing, and it's been doing that for only God knows how long. And I was wondering how much of that river could I put in a pint bottle if I scooped it up. And you say, well, if it's a pint bottle, you could put a pint of St. Croix water in it. Is that very much? Well, if you're a pint bottle, it's a lot. But considering the amount of water flowing, it's not very much. Could, theoretically, just way theoretically, could a person get all the water of the St. Croix River in a bottle? Yes. Theoretically, but it would take eternity. That's what it's like. We have very small minds. It's a very humbling thing. Relating with God is a humbling thing. It takes humility to be surprised. It takes humility to receive mystery. And so Mary Oliver says, look, laugh, bow your head. Yes. Yes. It's mysterious. Anthony DeMello has a story about the mouse that comes upon an elephant, and the elephant is wallowing in a pond, and the mouse says, get out of there. Get out. The elephant says, why? You get out, I'll tell you why. No, I'm not getting out. Come on, get out of there. So eventually the elephant gets out and he said, okay, why did you get me out of there? He says, I just wanted to see, the mouse said, I just wanted to see if you were wearing my swimming suit. Well, what's that about? Well, the immensity of the elephant could never fit in to the dimensions of the mouse's swimming suit. That is another image of our inability. God has a problem. God has to hint or attract somehow. But we are so set up as human beings that we really do want the entirety. We want to have it, have God figured out. And we will be very happy with that. It's a very human thing. It's part of our arrogance to confine God in the very small dimensions of our pint bottle or our human mental swimming suit. God cannot fit in there. And so little bits, we get little bits. If we're looking and laughing and if we're bowing our head, it's mystery. We don't like mystery. And so one of the ways of that the exercises of St. Ignatius, one of the ways it begins is bowing your head and saying, I've just got my little human swimming suit, my little pint bottle, but can I be open to receive what I can of you? And that's not easy, because by nature we want to know and want to have control of it. And then we want to know, we would like to know God in such a way that we would know exactly what God wants me to do. And then maybe I'd do it, maybe not, but at least I'd know. No, we really don't know exactly what we are to do. We have our freedom and we have our forces that take us this way or that way. What Ignatius would call spirits. There are spirits that invite us this way or that way. And to learn what is the good spirit, and I can't tell you. Only you know. You know, it's funny. I don't know what an orange tastes like to you. I know what it tastes like to me. And I assume that what it tastes like to me is somehow like yours, but I can't prove it. So you take a piece of orange, I take a piece of orange. Does that taste like orange? I say, yeah. You say, yeah. But I'm not sure. So that what discernment is and what these spirits, you have to learn them. You have to learn footsteps. And I think we know fairly well our own selfish footsteps. But to learn the voice of God or the footsteps of God, when is it the good spirit calling me? And when is it my own selfish, somewise disordered voices calling? We learn that if you're attentive. So maybe one of the images of God that is helpful, but it's just an image, is that we have in our galaxy something called the sun, and it's warm when it comes to the earth, and it is not diminished at all by whether you have a parasol or a sun hat or you are under a tree or you come inside. It is still burning and warming. At least in the 2 weeks of summer that Minnesota has, the sun still shines. You can prevent yourself from receiving that, but it doesn't diminish the sun. You can also make yourself available to its warmth and its burning, but it's constant. Whether you are attentive to it or not, it is still influencing you in ways you don't even know. It is influencing you because it is preparing meals and fruits for you. It is preparing energy for you. And you don't know it, but it's there. And we call a certain time of the day night. And we say the sun set, the sun went away. No, we went away. The earth turned in such a way that we are not receiving directly its influences, but even though it's dark, we are receiving somehow the influence of that sun. If that is an image of God, not that God is the sun, but it's an image, then what we do when we pray is to put ourselves in a position to receive as much as we can of its energy, its influence. But the sun does reverence our resistance to the sun. We come inside, or we go under a shade tree, and the sun doesn't burn down the tree, saying, I want to influence you, I want to warm you, I want to burn you. No, the sun says, okay. You cannot make me not be God. You cannot make me less God, but you can put yourselves in a position to receive it or not receive it. So in prayer, we are the receivers. We have prayers that seem to wake up God or call God wonderful and everything, and so we say very nice things about God, and oh, by the way, if you could, please, I'd like this. I've told you how good you are, now prove it. That's one of the ways we pray. And it's okay. It's what we do because we're human beings. But God is what I would say, God is praying around us and within us. We have to tune into that. We have to bow our heads and say, yes, you are praying within me and around me. You are influencing me by your light and by your warmth. You are helping like the sun. The sun, you can see the sun and you can see things because of the sun. God says, I am constantly giving you invitations. You can walk by something the color purple. You can walk by lilacs, you can walk by anything that I've given you to attract you, and I won't give up on you. You keep walking by something that I thought would attract you. There are more. I will come to you according to you. Isn't that amazing? I will come to you according to you, and I have to be then attuned to, how do I get attracted? Music, poetry, trees, babies' faces. What attracts me to the reality that there's something beyond, there's something mysterious that we give the name God? Well, we are not accustomed to dealing with mystery. We are so data-based and logically arranged that we could figure things out. And as I said, that's very ego-satisfactory. It's nice to figure things out. And we get so accustomed to that, then when we cannot figure something out, we put it aside. It's a negative experience of ourselves. We tend to put aside anything that is negative to us. That's just the way we are. That's why many people say, yeah, I used to golf. Why don't you anymore? Oh, you get down to it. The real reason is, it wasn't a positive experience to their egos, to their image. They go to basket weaving. It's more affirming. And so with God, we in our arrogance say, there is no God, or this God is too much for me, or this God is not satisfying my ego. I'm not getting what I want. I must not be a good prayer because that for which I pray never arrives. Or I don't seem to advance, and I like to advance. I like to climb mountains. I like to achieve. And I don't have a sense in this area of religion or theology or prayer or spirituality. It doesn't seem that I'm getting anywhere. And if I'm not getting anywhere, then I'm not going to try to get somewhere. It's interesting, in the human condition, any experience of good, okay, any experience of the good is within it an invitation for more. We are always oriented towards the more within the experience of good. So two cookies are always better than one. So where is satisfaction? Satisfaction. Satis is the Latin word for enough. Where is the enough? And we keep reaching, and we say, if I'm not getting, then I'm not going to reach anymore. No, we are, there's something in us. That's a good joke, can you tell me another one? That's a good story, could I have two more? That was a good trip, let's do it again. We always want more of the good. That's just within us. That's a good thing. And I think it's how God keeps inviting us. You can't have perfect satisfaction. That's a satisfaction. But you can have more. You really can get it. You deserve it, and our culture says it's right ahead there. You can have it. It's yours. You deserve it. Just work harder. And I think it's a cause of much depression in our society, because the total, the whole is right there. It's close. Grab it. Go for it. Keep working for it. If you've got 1 million, then 2 million is right there, and that's going to be much more happy. So that's the problem that God has with us. We are oriented towards God. See, all that longing for wholeness and longing for the perfect is for me one of the proofs of the existence of God. That nothing that I can make or do can be godish. It's not there. It's always got an emptiness to it. But to let God doesn't humble us by not giving us our totality. God gives us the partial to say, keep going, but not in anger. You know, if you've got one cookie and you want two, the one cookie is still good. Enjoy that one cookie. Yeah, but it two would be more better. No. Not necessarily. Because after you ate the two, you will want four. It's just the nature of it. That's why those in AA would say, one drink is too much and 1,000 aren't enough. It's always possible that the mountaintop can be reached. Well, that's what we pray with, and that's the image of God that prays around us. But I would like you to pray with is the first chapter of John's Gospel is the call of Jesus. John the Baptist has his followers, and Jesus walks by. This is in the first chapter, verse 35. And John's followers are there, and John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." There it is, the longed for, the one who has been promised. And Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them a very important thing in the exercises: "What are you looking for?" And Ignatius would say, "I will pray lo que deseo, that which I desire." What do you want? What are you looking for? What you are looking for is encouragement and comfort and reception of what is, not just what ought to be. Okay, that's a great distinction. To pray with what is. Do you have desires for more of it? Yes, but that's part of the what is. The what is that each of us is incomplete and we want completion. Okay, you can pray with that. How you have tried for completion in all kinds of things. Intellectually and relationally and emotionally. We want it all. That's not wrong. That's part of the human nature. It's part of our relationship with God. We do want it all. So what Jesus is saying to them, what of the allness are you looking for? And they said, Rabboni, which means teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. That's where we are. Come and see. But don't value yourself. Don't by what you do. Don't evaluate. Don't qualify yourself, as I was saying. Maybe one more thing. We have a very difficult time accepting our humanity. In some ways, we don't like our humanity. And there are certain parts of other people's humanity we don't like either. I do some marriage preparation at Creighton University. And there is part in the survey in this thing called the Focus, and they have to write, they take this separately, there are certain aspects of my future spouse that annoy me. That I clap my hands and say, okay, go for it. And she, this is 100% accurate, she says to him, you go first. And I figured out that why she does that, she wants to know with what caliber of ammo is he going to launch. And she has the amazing ability to be very accurate, and then she returns fire in the same dimensions. And then I say, in my perversity and in my bachelor state, is there anything else you would like to say to her? And then I blow out my match and the fire has been lit, and better than a sitcom. what each, we don't like, we like, she would like, he would like, that we would like, to improve the humanity of the other so that our humanity would not have to deal with it. We are embarrassed by what is very human to us, and because it's human to us, it's absolutely universal. But we hide a lot of our humanity. We are embarrassed a lot by our simply human, our failings, but our bodies, parts of our bodies are shameful, parts of our anatomy are, we hide them. We are embarrassed when we belch or our stomach growls. Oh, excuse me, people. No, nothing to be excused. It's working. Experiencing our humanity is a great prayer. Our distractions, our fears, those are all very good. They are worthy of just being in the presence of them and smiling and bowing our head and saying, yes, that's who I am. And we just say, no, could I pray to get better? Could I pray that I can run away from my humanity? And those of you who are married, no, you can't run away from your humanity. Your spouse has vowed to help you live with it and pray with it. And we don't like a light that shines on our frailty, our humanity. And yet it's, where do you stay? And Jesus says, I stay in your humanity. I stay where you might not want to live, in yourself. So that the sunshine of God shines deeply within and around our humanity. You might read Psalm 139 where the psalmist says, you know me. You are within me and around me. So Jesus is coming as light in John's Gospel, and we'll see that. That he comes as light, showing us, yes, the way, but the way not out of our humanity, but the way to experience our humanity and to live with it. But you say, but it's so fragile, it's so fickle, it's so inconsistent. That's right. And you know, God is consistent and is faithful to you as you live with your humanity. Don't run away from it. You can laugh at it. You say, oh, there I am again. So God isn't laughing at it. God is loving it. So just spend some time with yourself and how humorously you try to be better and try to have more. How life is so dissatisfying if you expect humanity and life to be satisfying. No, we aren't to be satisfied. Everything ends, doesn't it? Everything ends, including this presentation.